to thank all of those who have been involved in setting up our translation ministry, including those who are translating for you right now, and also especially De Hong Hu and Dr. Wei Lin, and who is also had a big part in setting this up. Your family, a stream or a pond? Oftentimes, my family likes to eat out at a picnic table outside by a beautiful stream, like you see here. The stream sounds beautiful. It provides cool, clear water. What a nice place to eat outside. But we don't oftentimes eat near a pond, because water flows into a pond but doesn't flow out again, so the water sits and becomes stagnant. Oftentimes mosquitoes and flies gather around a pond and plants float on the top of a surface. The difference between a stream and a pond is that water goes into and out of a stream. It keeps flowing, while water just stops, like in a pond. So God's blessing is like this kind of water. God wants us and our families to be streams of blessing to other people. God wants to bless us, but God blesses us also so that we may pass our blessings on to other people. All people on the earth are God's creatures, and He wants to bless everyone, not just our own family. One of the greatest examples that we have in the Bible of faith and blessing is the man who's called Abraham. Over 4 billion people today honor Abraham and his faith in God. Abraham and his family have been a blessing to actually billions of people. How can your family become like Abraham's family? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we will understand well the example of Abraham and understand how you used him. We pray that you may use us and our family also to be streams of blessings to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Abraham's family descended from Shem, and if you were in the English service, we've been preaching on the book of Genesis, and Shem was one of Noah's children. He rode also in the ark. Abraham, though, was born in the city of Ur, which you can see down here. Today, Ur is in Iraq, a part close to the city coast, close to the ocean. The town of Ur was known for its riches, for its education, and also for the worship of the god of the moon. Abraham's original name was Abram, which means exalted father. Abram's father was named Terah. His two brothers were named Nahor and Haran. Now, Haran had a son named Lot, though Haran died. Terah took Abram, Nahor, and Lot on a journey of about 600 miles towards the northwest, and they came from their town of Ur over to the town of Haran. And Haran today is in Syria. God spoke to Abram. We don't know exactly how God spoke to Abram, but Abram got a clear message from God: leave your family and go to a land that I will show you. You can find that scripture today inside your bulletin. Let's open your bulletin and take a look at that again. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you too will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." God made great promises to Abram. First of all, he promised him that his family would become a great nation. Abram would not only have a big family, but they would be so many that they would become a nation. And actually more than one nation came from Abram. Some of his children formed what today we call the Jewish people. Others of Abram's children formed today what we call the Arab people. All of these peoples came from Abram. God made him to a great nation. God also gave him great honor. God promised that Abram would be honored by having a great name. Today, Abram's name is held in honor by more than 4 billion people, Jews, Muslims, and also Christians. All look to Abram's faith as being the great example and as the one who began their faith. God also promised Abram a personal blessing. God said he would bless Abram and his family. God promised, the Bible tells us later, that Abram had Ishmael, his son Isaac, and later 6 additional sons. And by the way, I want to thank God because we have a brand new granddaughter that was born 2 days ago. God is blessing our family as well. God made Abram a very wealthy man, both in having very large herd of animals and also in silver and gold. But God also made Abram into being a global blessing. God promised that all the nations of earth would be blessed through Abram. The story of Abram's children is found here in the Bible, for the Bible is the story of various different people who came from Abram's family. Abram's children, primarily through his grandson Jacob, would become the central story of the Bible. Even more, through Abram, God sent his own son, Jesus, into the world. Jesus, who was God in human form, brought the blessing of teaching us how we ought to live, and also by providing for our salvation, by dying and rising again from the dead. So what a blessing that was to others as well. Though Abram is very famous today, he couldn't easily see how God could keep his promises. Abram may have grown up in a very pagan society in Ur. He probably knew little about the God who spoke to him. But at the time when God spoke to Abram, he was already 75 years old, but he and his wife had no children. Are there any people here who are 75 years and older? Some of us are. Are you planning to have more children? Most of us are not. How could God give make his children into a nation when he didn't even have one child? How could God give them a land in which to live when they had no land of their own? Abram had great faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews, who was one of Abram's descendants, gave us a word picture of what faith looks like in the lives of people. He said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." A person with faith is certain that something will happen even though he does not see us. See it. Now, all of us have a certain amount of faith. Do you have a bank account? You have a bank account? I think probably most of us here have a bank account of one type or the other. Now, you don't see the money inside your bank account, but you have faith that when you go to a store and you give them your debit card or your credit card, it will flash approved. But you don't see the money. You have faith in your bank to keep their promises. You believe the bank will hold your money, and give it back to you when you ask for it. God is much more faithful than U.S. Bank or any other kind of bank. God keeps his promises. Abraham believed that God would give him the land and the children and the blessing that he promised. Later in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the writer says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country." He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. When we moved from the Philippines I grew up here in Richland, and when I moved from Richland to the Philippines in 1984, along with my wife, Aline, and our first child, Michael, we became foreigners. We did not look like people in the Philippines. We didn't talk like them, even though we began learning the Philippine languages. Almost every day, somebody reminded us that we were foreigners for 30 years. Though many people were kind to us, sometimes I got to be tired of being a foreigner. Does that ever happen to you? Maybe you know about that. We chose, however, to become foreigners because we had a purpose, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a group of people who knew about something about Jesus but did not have security of salvation or know that Jesus could bring them a changed life. We hope that God would use us. That's why we willingly became foreigners. Some of us don't choose to become foreigners. Sometimes circumstances force us to leave our home countries. You know, it's stressful to live in a place where you don't really belong. Maybe some of you understand what that is like. Sometimes you are torn in half. Half of your family is in one country, and half of your family is in another country. That's a very difficult situation to live under. And that's what it was like in many ways for Abraham. One of the things that comforted me was knowing that I am a citizen of a heavenly country, a citizen of heaven. And so no matter where I lived, at the Philippines or here, I had confidence that someday I would live forever in a place where I would always be at home. And one year, within a few years, my father died, my mother died. We went through a very terrible typhoon in the Philippines where we lost most of our possessions. It was very stressful to go through a loss after loss, one after the other. And one of the times I began singing a song that I learned as a boy. And this song comforted me when I had a feeling of loss. And the song goes like this. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Maybe some of you also understand what it's like to not feel at home. When Abram left Haran, he spent more time looking forward to what God would give him in the future, at God's promises, than he did looking back and at what he had lost. Abram's attitude of faith was seen by his family. Sarai, his wife, looked at Abram and could see that he trusted God. His Lot, his nephew, watched Abram leave his secure life behind. And so Abram's faith was something that was passed on to other people, not only by what he said, but what he did by obeying God and stepping out to travel and leave his home country. Our faith will have an impact on our family too. When we believe our God's promises and when we act on them, our family will be encouraged that God will take care of them too. If they see that our goals are not just goals for this life, but also that we are planning to do something because we serve God. When they see our goals are not just for this life, they will also considering trusting God for themselves. Abram obeyed God. If we really have faith, it will show in the way that we live our lives. Abram obeyed God because he had faith in him. In Genesis 12, we read, "So Abram left as the Lord told him, and Lot went along with him." Abram was 75 years when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of the possessions they accumulated, and the people they acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. We don't know exactly how Abram traveled. Maybe he rode on a camel and his wife Sarai rode on a camel beside him. We don't know exactly for sure. The Bible doesn't say. We could imagine that they're riding together through the desert going towards Canaan. And maybe his wife Sarai might have asked questions like this. Like, are you sure that it was God who spoke to you? Or are you sure it's safe to travel all the way to Canaan? Or what if the people in Canaan are hostile to us? Or how will God fulfill this promise of becoming a great nation if you and I don't even have one child? It was a profound act of faith to obey. Real faith acts on God's promises. So there were two different ways in which Abram obeyed God based on his faith. The first way that he did, we mentioned, was by leaving Haran, the place where he lived. But the second way he did was by building altars. Genesis 12 says, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. And so he built an altar there to the Lord, who appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. Abram heard God's promise correctly. God would give this land to his descendants, but not directly to him. Abram was a foreigner in the land, but he wanted to see the land that his children would receive as a blessing. And so he traveled from one place to the other in the land of Canaan in order to see where his children would inherit, going towards the south. As Abram traveled, he built altars to the one true God. The people of the land, the Canaanites, worshipped many false gods, like Baal, the storm god, or Ashtoreth, the goddess of fertility. Abraham worshipped a different god, the one true God who created the universe. Perhaps Abram had heard of this true God through stories that were passed down to him from Shem, who rode on the ark. If we understand the chronology of the people in the book of Genesis, Shem, actually the son of Noah, was alive even all the way up until the time of Abraham. The people of Canaan could watch Abram as he offered to his God. They could also listen as he may have explained to them about the God that he worshipped and why he had such faith in his God. Later in Abram's life, he had a great test of faith when he was asked to offer his son, Isaac, on the altar. Now today, we no longer offer animal sacrifices. Here in our church, we do not have an altar where we will be killing a sheep, as they did in the Jewish temple later, and as Abraham did. Jesus was God's ultimate sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice was the one that could take away sins permanently for those who believe in him. But we can have a different kind of altar in our family. We can have a time every day or special times during the week when we gather our family together to worship God and remind ourselves how much he means to us. This was something that my parents did, that I did with my children, and I hope to pass on to my children and grandchildren as well. A big time to meet together, which we call our family altar or devotions. The kind of worship that you might have for your family will depend to a great extent upon the ages of your children. With younger children, Bible story books can be very helpful for them to understand and have their own pictures of what is going to happen. There are many kinds of Bible story books and references that you can get. This is one recently that my wife purchased. It's called Friends with God Story Bible. And you can come take a look at this afterwards if you like. This is a beautiful book with pictures that help to explain to children some of the stories of the Bible and helps them to apply that in their lives. That's good for younger children. When you are telling Bible stories, there might be many kinds of questions that children might have, like, why are those men wearing dresses? Well, you can explain, those are robes. Or, why are the people killing a sheep in the picture book? Or, what are publicans, and why don't people like them? There are many questions that you might have. What if you don't know an answer to a question? That's not actually bad, that's good. If you don't know the answer to a Bible question as you're reading at home, you can help to research. It will teach you also humility. If you don't know the answer to the question, you can say, that is a very good question. I will research the answer. I'll try to find out before our next family altar. There are many other types of electronic references that are available today that were not available when I was training my children, like the Bible app for kids. There is a television program called Superbook that you can either get a subscription to, and you can see many of them on YouTube. The Jesus film for kids is a whole entire story of the life of Jesus that you can get for free as well and watch with your children. Though we should start to have a family altar, no matter what age your children have, it's much easier to get younger children used to worshiping God at home than to introduce it when they're older and they're not used to it. So do you have small children in your home? Why not start today? In the case of older children and teens, there are other kinds of books that can be helpful. Devotional books that have stories of the life of great Christians can be helpful. And Bible memory. You can participate in a church Bible memory program, or you can memorize Bible verses in your family. You can see Christian movies. At least one of our church families has subscribed to a Christian movie service on the internet called PureFlix. Other video services like Netflix and Amazon Prime, they have a mixture of videos. Some are not very good. Some are excellent. My wife and I watched on Amazon Prime The Life of a Great Christian, C.S. Lewis. Christian movies can be helpful. As soon as children get ready to read and they're able to read by themselves, they can do some of their own Bible reading. As children get older, they can do the major Bible reading in your family. They can also be able to choose and make some of their choices on what you might read in the Bible together. One of the Bibles that we like very well is the Life Application Bible in the New Living Translation. Very easy to understand. It has lots of interesting helps. And finally, we can pray together. Our prayers can start simply at any age. As children get older, they can contribute their own prayer requests as well. When you get to be adults, my wife and I, or our children have left the nest, and now we have one of our daughters and one of our grandchildren back at home again. But for many years, we were just the two of us at home. And still, we have our family devotions together as a husband and a wife. Having family devotions together helps you to stay closer as a husband and a wife together. Our applications of reading the Bible can include how to spend our money and how to give. We often take action after we pray for somebody and we say, how are we going to help them? We might, and we have recently, sent money to friends that needed it. Or sometimes we don't know how to bless others. We ask God to tell us how you can use us as a husband and wife to bless other people. Our world is sometimes a dangerous place. Pastor talked about a shooting recently that had happened this morning at a senior facility, I guess the Luther home, and there were a lot of police over there. And our world has been a violent world for many, many years. Abraham also encountered violence during the time that he was living. There is no, Abram lived during a time when the kings of cities, actually those kings you would call more like mayors today, only they were not elected. The king of one city would force the people who lived in that city to go with him and to fight against another city so that they could take over some of their goods and take over their city. And today the wars continue as well. What happened in Abraham's case was that his nephew Lot was living close to the city of Sodom. And other kings had a fight with the city of Sodom. And the Sodom was defeated, and Lot and his family was taken as prisoners, taken as slaves. God had blessed Abraham in a very special way. He was not only wealthy, he had his own group of people. The Bible says that Abraham had his own private army of 318 men. Well, I'd like to have a private army of my own. Nobody would mess with me. Abraham was able to take his own private army, and because of God's blessing and protection, they were able to attack and rescue Lot and his family from the people that had kidnapped them. He brought them then back to Sodom. The king of Sodom was so happy. Not only did he rescue Lot, but many of the other people in his town. He wanted to give Abraham a special gift, to give him some of the things that the people had stolen from the city of Sodom. But Abraham replied in this way. He said, Abraham said, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. I have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, to Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. Abraham refused to take any pay for this rescue mission. He became a blessing to the people in whose land he lived. He wanted them to know that God was the one who made him rich, and it was God's blessing that allowed him to be able to give to others. Do you have a neighbor who seems to have everything? Your neighbor might have a large house. He has maybe a sports car or one of these great big giant crew cab pickups that many American men would like to have. His children have advanced academic degrees. He goes on expensive vacations with his wife. Now, if you have a neighbor like that, does that make you feel good or does that make you feel bad? Sometimes, more often than not, it makes us feel bad or really envious of these other people because of the things that they have that we don't have. But what about a neighbor who loves to bless others? A neighbor who invites you into his home to share his hospitality with you. A neighbor who helps to shovel your snow in the winter. Or when you go on vacation, he offers to take out your trash or to mow your lawn for you. What kind of neighbor is that? That type of neighbor is a blessing that you're happy to be like. He is a stream of blessing, not a pond of envy. So, is your family a source of envy or a source of blessing to your neighbors and to the other people around you? Many Christians become frustrated and defeated because their needs and wants and expectations and demands are not immediately met when they accept Christ. Could God trust you when he blesses you, that the blessing that he gives, you will also pass on to other people? Or will it stop with you? There are, in most churches and other groups, there are about 20% of the church members or the association members that do 80% of the work. That's pretty common in most groups. I think our average here at TCC is better than that. I think we have maybe more than 20% of the people who are involved in serving God faithfully here. But do you have a way of specially serving God here at TCCAC? Are you involved in a committee? Are you serving God in one way or the other? Are you helping to clean up? Do you have a special job here at church? Are you singing or using your talents in any way for God? So if not, you could approach somebody who is serving God. Instead of just saying, wow, I admire how you cook or how you sweep, you could say, can I help you? What a great blessing that would be. Or do you serve God faithfully? teach your children to do the same. Our children will not automatically follow us in serving God. We may need to say, I'm going to the church today. I'm going to help clean up. Please come along with me. That type of example will help your children to learn to serve God for themselves. God willing, later as they become older, they will want to volunteer to help in one way or the other. Do you play the piano? Ask them to turn pages for you. If their talents are different from yours, give them a choice of a way to serve God. One family that has been blessing to thousands of people is the Lincoln-Nelson family. Dr. Link, as he is known by many of us, studied at Wheaton College and then he went to medical school in Buffalo, New York. In the years 1949 and 1950, he was in the U.S. Navy and served in the Philippines as a medical doctor. After he got out of the Philippines, he returned to the Philippines with his wife, Lenore, and served as a missionary for 35 years, 5 years longer than my wife and I did. 2 years after he arrived in the Philippines, he was a very big help to me. I am very glad for this man personally because he helped my mother-in-law, Fern Agard, to give birth to my wife. So I have a great debt and love for Dr. Link Nelson. We also met him as well, and we enjoyed his hospitality. Dr. Link opened 4 different missionary hospitals in the Philippines. Because of his skill and kindness, people from all over the island of Leyte, where we lived, and other islands where he worked, they would line up to be treated by Dr. Link because he was such a skillful and kind and compassionate doctor. And most of them heard a gospel presentation at the missionary hospital where Dr. Link worked. Now, Link and Lenore, his wife, raised 5 children in the Philippines. And their family was also close to my wife's family. And my wife also grew up with some of their children. One of his sons, David, returned to the Philippines as a missionary family. And the Lincoln-Nelson family has been a blessing to many other people. They have also inspired other people as well. Dr. Baby Oivico was one of my Sunday school students when she was in medical school in the Philippines. She was inspired by his life and the lives of other missionary doctors. She's been a medical missionary to Bangladesh and Nepal, and she's still a missionary. Also, Dr. Nelson helped inspire Lemuel Amezcua. He was a young man in one of the churches where we attended in the town of Palo in the Philippines. He was inspired to become a medical missionary by the life of Dr. Nelson, and he is coming soon to the end of his medical studies. All of these people were inspired by the life of Dr. Link Nelson. What a tremendous blessing the Nelson family has been to many, many people in the world. Would you like to have your family also be like the Nelson family, to be a great source of blessing to other people? In the Philippines, there are many builders, people who make houses. They try to make their house so the front door and the back door are not lined up. The idea is that the blessing, if your front door faces your back door, the blessing will go in the front door and go right out the back door. And so they want to have the back door over here so the blessing will go in and stay inside the house. What type of person does God bless? God wants to bless people so that they will be a blessing to others. God does not want his blessing to just stay inside your house. He wants his blessing also to go out to other people as well. And if you ask, why is God not blessing me? You might ask the question, am I and my family a blessing to other people as well, like Abraham was? The more that we bless others, the more that God will bless us and bless our family. Let's pray. God, make our families a blessing to others. Use us to bless the world like you used faithful Abraham. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Lord, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Please stand, 请大家起立。
感谢主，今天可以听到 Jim Lasco 牧师很美好的信息，求主帮助我们每一个人和我们的家庭都能够成为